Well, Happy New Year, and I hope indeed it has been that for you. I hope that all of you who are present feel that you are in good health and a good frame of mind and a good determination to grow in Christ Jesus during this year. Betty and I are glad to be back home. We did have a very wonderful time with our children. We had very pleasant weather while we were away. And having said all of that, nothing can beat your own bed and your own kitchen. And so we're glad to be home. Before we begin the thoughts that I have prepared for this morning, there are two things I want to mention, one by the way of emphasis. This next Sunday afternoon will be the beginning of our gospel effort for the week. I'm sure as you have looked at the announcements, you're aware that Brother Stacy Krim will be speaking to us. We will have a singing at 2:30 of the afternoon, and I've asked Brother Richard Foy if he would go ahead and coordinate that, and I'm going to ask that at 2:30 all of you will return for that 45 minutes of singing. Brother Krim, immediately after, will then speak to us concerning the subject, saving the lost. And we will then have a early afternoon service as a result. And if you want, after the service, why, you can take someone home with you to show hospitality, to do as you will. We look forward to a good week of this gospel effort. There are flyers on the table and the vestibule. I'm going to recommend that you take a few of those to give to your friends as you invite them. And as always, I'm going to suggest, don't say, come with me on Friday night, but say, come with me on Monday night. And that way you have a better opportunity of getting them to return other times during the week. But it may be that there will be particular subjects that would be especially helpful to your friends. And if that is the case, why, ask them to please look over the sermon subject, and then you be sure to do your part in saying, I'll be glad to either direct you to the building, or better still, you come with us in our car. We want to do all of the good that we can in this coming gospel effort. Then, for tonight, I'm going to ask that after our worship service, all of the men remain here for the men's class that will follow. For the next three, maybe the next four sessions, I will be studying with the men, receiving your help and your suggestions, but as we study together, how better to serve the Lord. I'm confident that the studies that I have anticipated are going to be of great profit, benefit to you as an individual and also to the church. So be sure you come back tonight and you can send your lady off to Shoney's or wherever she wants to go after our worship, and you men, if you will plan on remaining here. That includes the young men, by the way. I'm especially hoping that there will be several of the young men that will be present for our classes. As Daniel has read in your hearing the story, well, really, we would say it is the climax almost of the story of Joseph. I suppose from your very earliest years in Bible class, you have been acquainted with this Bible character, this wonderful young man, Joseph. And if you're like I am, you'd like a great adventure story. I want you to know that the Bible is chock-a-block full of adventure stories, and ranking right up there at the top is the story that is told in the book of Genesis of Joseph. The story involves what every good adventure story will have: danger, suspense, tears, terror, humor, and victory. Well, the story of Joseph, more than that, more than just being a good read, as we would say, is full of lessons for God's people today. Because I am confident that you know the story, how it was that Joseph was betrayed. He was sold by his own brothers in the flesh, sold as a slave, taken away to a strange land, there to serve as a slave, and how it came to be that he finally, well, he went down even further in his life, being cast into prison. And during all of those years that he was in prison, have you wondered about what Joseph must have been thinking? And then, of course, that wonderful, what would seem to many people a miraculous deliverance from prison, to be next to Pharaoh himself, ruling over Egypt. What do we learn from that? What application could there possibly be in the story of the life of Joseph that would apply to us today, that would have some kind of vital part in our lives? Well, the first thing I would suggest to you is the story of Joseph proves, after all, that it is God that is in full control. God in control of governments, God in control sometimes of the outcome of evil. God in control. Why is that true? Is that just a saying? To say, oh, I believe that God is in control of everything. Why is it true? Well, it's true because what we know about the nature of God. He's eternal. We can hardly conceive of that kind of characteristic. Little children may puzzle and they may say, when did God begin? Or, who made God? Well, we're able to learn from Scripture that those questions simply do not apply to our eternal Father. No one created God. There was no beginning. He is God, eternal. having always existed, always will exist. He's almighty. He's almighty. God is able to do everything. You face problems. You say, here are some things that I cannot do. Lack of strength, lack of wisdom, lack of ability, lack of opportunity. But none of those things apply to God. He can do everything because He's almighty. God is in control because we learn that God knows everything. That can be comforting and it can be scary. He knows everything. He knew what was going on whenever those wicked brothers sold Joseph into slavery. He knew how Joseph was feeling. He knew all about that wicked slave owner's wife. He knew when Joseph was cast into prison. He knows everything. And He's ever present. There's nowhere you can go. There's nowhere I can go away from the presence of God. God was in Egypt just as surely as He was there in Canaan. God is everywhere. Now, if you're really thinking with me this morning, God is eternal. God is almighty, all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is ever-present. Do you know that's not enough? That's not enough to say God is in control. Along with these wonderful characteristics that we've mentioned, the God that we're able to read of in Scripture, the God that created you, is caring. He is loving. He is compassionate. And He cares for you. Over and over again. Oh, we can see that dramatized in the life of Joseph. How did all of these things happen to Joseph? How did all of that wonderful outcome result? Because God cared. But Peter, in the New Testament, and I think I could multiply these scriptures, but it's not necessary. Peter in the New Testament said, casting all of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. The man or the woman that recognizes that this eternal God who is all-powerful, who is all-knowing, who is ever-present, is not a tyrant. He's not indifferent. It is not a matter of our being able to say, God, You don't know the problems that I'm facing. He loves you. He loves you. I've asked Brother Richard if he would lead us in the last verse of 608. Will you stand and sing with me this love of God? With the ocean filled.
when the skies of parchment made every sock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the law of God above, when the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, stretched from sky to sky.
Be seated. Thank you for joining with me in the singing of the words of the compassion, of the care, of the love of God for Joseph and for you. Could we with ink the ocean fill? Were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Aren't you glad God is God? There's a second lesson, something very important. In order for this wonderful love of God to work on our behalf, we must work with God. Joseph did that, didn't he? Working with God. Over in Romans, the 8th chapter, this love of God is spoken of. I noticed that verse 28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." You see, this matter of love, it's reciprocal. We talk about the wonderful love of God, his immeasurable love for us. And we have to ask ourselves the question, do I love God? Do I love God? Joseph did. Joseph was willing in whatever circumstance he found himself. Don't you really marvel at Joseph? The scripture says, young people, that Joseph was only 17 years old. Only 17 years old. While he was at home, he was pampered. His daddy loved him more than any other of the children. That was not necessarily good. Somewhere along the line, Joseph, in his youth, learned about the love of God. He learned about the control and the power that God had. And so it is that we have to say, while God's blessings are, well, God's blessings are for everyone. If you have not yet demonstrated that love for God that we're talking about, if you have not responded, God has already showered you with great blessings. In the beginning of this new year, you look at all of the ways in which God has blessed you. But I want you to know that the richest blessings of all are reserved for those who will serve Him. Listen again in Romans chapter 8 and notice what is said. Verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Do you get in a tight spot? Do you begin to wonder whether God still cares for you? My dear friends, my dear brethren, God allowed His Son to die for you. That death on the cross, it is not an impersonal thing at all. If God did not spare His own Son, how will He not then with Him freely give you all things that are needed? God's love, God's care. Well, you say, Brother Tope, that's a wonderful thing. Do you know that God's care for you includes trials? Uh-oh. The story of Joseph. Now, God, if You're all-powerful, if You're all-knowing, if You have all of these capabilities, and You knew what was happening to Joseph, his brothers hating him, becoming a slave. Can you imagine what was involved there? A wicked, wicked woman. Continually, day after day, saying, come to bed with me. Cast into prison, not for wrongdoing. Look at this boy. How strong in faith he is. How morally pure. How determined to do God's will. You say, give me a person like that, Brother Tope, and they won't have any trouble in life at all. And boy, Joseph just keeps on going downhill. Separated from family, sold as a slave, and now in prison. God, don't you care? Don't you care? I suppose, now I don't know this for sure, but I suppose there are as many people who become unbelievers because of trouble in their lives as they do for any other reason. And what do we do? God, if You're God, the devil's working on us, isn't he? God, if You're God, why did You let that bad thing happen? Why did You let my loved one get sick and die? Why did I lose my job? Why did those things happen? I didn't deserve it. God, who loves us, prepares trials. He prepares trials. He tested Joseph. He tests us. He wants to know what kind of stuff we're made of. Oh, you say God knows all things. Yes. But we're going to have to demonstrate that. And there's a good purpose. If you want to read about that good purpose, you look over at 1 Peter, the first chapter. Verses 5 through 7, Peter says, to these suffering saints to whom he writes of the dispersion, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Janet Hewson has less than 2 weeks to live. That's the truth of the matter. The doctors have already told Ashley and Janet, there's nothing we can do. That cancer has so destroyed her vital organs that she cannot live. Why is that happening? Janet is a faithful child of God. I've known her for years. Her husband is a gospel preacher. How can that happen? Janet said to Ashley, now I've got to get my soul ready to meet God. Bad things happening to good people, and God is in control. Testing those that will remain behind, testing Janet, being purified as though by fire. Trials, the trials you face this year, they're proving you. They're testing what kind of material you're made out of. We don't like those trials. We don't welcome disease and we don't welcome death. Will we endure? Will you deny God? Will you be purified and made ready for heaven? Lesson 4. God knows the end from the very beginning. God knew what was happening, but he knew all about that. Whenever Daniel read to us this morning from chapter 45, did you catch on that that is the lesson? Now, Joseph says to his brethren, "Do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." Way back there. Before Joseph had ever been born, before Jacob had been born, before Isaac had been born, God had said to grandfather Abraham, he said, "I'm going to give you this land," but he said, "You will be sojourners and slaves in a land that is not yours for 400 years. God had it all planned. Why was Joseph sold into Egyptian slavery? Because God had a plan. "As for you," Joseph said, "you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good." There's a lot of evil people out there that are working against us, that wants to see our downfall. There's a lot of folks that don't want you to succeed. They don't want you to succeed as a Christian. They don't want you to go to heaven. God knew everything that was happening. Joseph did not know. Joseph didn't have any idea. Sometimes we don't know why things are happening to us. These bad things. If we work with God, if we trust in Him, how can we know that God is working for us? Well, first of all, He's promised. That should be good enough for us. Second of all, are you obeying and trusting Him? He really can't work His will for your good unless you do. And no, you may not know why it's happening. You may not know until the very end as to how things will be. God will not fail you. If there's failure, it's going to have to come from you. God will not fail. Will you fail God? God's given us this new year. I don't know whether we will all live through this new year, but He's given it to us. What are you planning to do with it? Have you become a Christian yet? You say, "Brother Gene, I know what the Bible teaches. I know I have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Here's all of this evidence out there." And yes, I know I've got to change my life. The Bible calls that repentance, when I determine I'm going to give up my indifference, I'm going to give up my impurities, I'm going to follow Him. And yes, God's plan, God's will, involves immersion in water for the forgiveness of your sins. God planned it that way. So He said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be condemned." But how are you doing as a Christian? How are you doing? You say, "Well, I'm satisfied." Is God satisfied with you?